So, tonight we're talking about the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, who knows the parable of the Good Samaritan? Who's heard of the parable of the Good Samaritan? Anybody not familiar with the parable of the Good Samaritan? Okay. Now, have you heard an expression about a Good Samaritan? Or somebody who's a Good Samaritan? Now, what do we think it's about? Can somebody tell me what the parable of the Good Samaritan is about? Hands, anyone? Yes, Hannah. Oh, yes, very good. A Good Samaritan. Any more detail? Flesh it out for me. Compassion. Yes, Jonathan. The compassion of the Samaritan. Right. Okay. Well, let's read the passage in Luke and think, okay, what's the point of this parable as we read it? So, it's in Luke chapter 10, starting with verse 25. And so, Jesus is here and surrounded by people, and then a certain lawyer comes to him and asks him a question. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law, and what is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Now the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.'" So, which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." We call people a good Samaritan if they do an exceptionally good and selfless deed for another. For most people, it's a story about helping someone in need. But as we'll find out, that's not really the point. This is really a story about how one inherits eternal life, because that's the question that starts the whole conversation. So the religious lawyer asks the question. But Jesus doesn't answer him straight up. Jesus' answer is to ask him, how do you see it? How do you interpret the reading of the law? Because this is a religious lawyer, so of course he should know, shouldn't he? And Jesus gets the answer he expects, the summary of the law. Now these two statements describe the essence of the law and the Ten Commandments. The first statement is summarizing the first five commandments about your duty to God. And the second statement summarizes the second five commandments about your duty to man. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then Jesus responds to the lawyer by quoting from Scripture. He says, do this and you will live. Meaning, yes, if you fulfill these things perfectly, you will have eternal life. True, right, yes. So, but if you really think about it, nobody can do that perfectly. And the lawyer should have been honest at this point and responded by saying, I can't do that. I can't always, at all times, love the Lord my God perfectly with all that I am and all that I possess. And I can't love every person around me with a perfect love in the same way that I love myself. I can't do that. I haven't done that. I'm not capable of that. And I probably won't do that in the future. But no, instead, he drowned out his conscience with self-righteous pride. And he said, wanting to justify himself, he wanted to convince people that he was righteous even though he wasn't. He jumps over the loving God part, thinking, I'm okay with God, God and I are good. And I'm okay with the neighbour bit, unless you have another definition to me of who is my neighbour. And so, wanting to justify himself, he says to Jesus, and who is my neighbour? Jesus now responds by telling a crushing story that shatters the pride of the self-righteous, sinful man and to show him the true meaning of the gospel, bringing him to an understanding that he can't inherit eternal life through what he does himself. Jesus says that no, don't just love your brother or your own people, but love your enemies, love the stranger, love people from another race. So let's turn to the parable. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Robbers didn't just rob him. They stripped him naked. They pummeled him until he was half dead. We would say that he was in a critical condition, in the process of dying. He's a goner, unless he gets help quick. And then Jesus suggests that there's a ray of hope. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road. Yay, a priest! This was good news because a priest was a servant of God, one who offered sacrifices in the temple, the best and most godly of men. He was an example of spiritual virtue, surely. He would have known his obligation to God's law to look after the stricken man and probably would have taught this requirement even to others. But he deliberately goes to the other side of the road and goes in the opposite direction. No compassion, no mercy, and no love. And then the Levite doesn't help him either. Now the Levites were sort of like the deacons, responsible for some teaching, but a lot of the physical help for the priests and the people. They'd also distribute the alms for the poor. These were the very people whose job it was to help this man. But again, no compassion, no mercy, no love. Now, isn't that typical? Don't we hear this sort of thing a whole lot today? We hear, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to get involved. But obviously these two religious people didn't love God because they, even though they knew God's commandments, they didn't keep them. And of course they weren't loving their neighbours themselves. So being connected to the covenant, being circumcised, or being baptized as a child nowadays, being connected to the religious system doesn't get you into the kingdom of God. And then comes the twist. A good Samaritan. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Now, the people gathered around Jesus would have thought, a Samaritan? Are you kidding me? Because the hatred between Samaritans and the Jews was profound. Now, whenever a Jew was travelling in a north-south direction to and from Jerusalem, the easy way would have been to go through Samaria, because it's right in the middle, right there. But instead of going that way, they went, because they wouldn't tread on the land of the Samaritans. They wouldn't get their feet dirty with Samaritan dirt. So the Samaritan were the blood enemies of the Jews. The worst possible thing that you could be called in Israel was a demon-possessed Samaritan. Which, by the way, is what the Jews called Jesus. In John chapter 8, 48. So from the perspective of the injured man, you would think that the worst possible person to come along would be a Samaritan. He's a stranger. He's an enemy from an enemy race. He's the last person that you would want to come along because you wouldn't expect him to lift a finger. He would probably kick you. You would expect. But, to our surprise, notice how this man loves. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Compassion, sympathy, empathy. He caringly gives up his clothing. He lavishly pours out wine for antiseptic and his oil as a salve for healing. Then he travels, perhaps a long way to an inn, and not on his own beast, by the way, so in his place. So he gets off the beast, puts this man on his own beast, and he walks. Once they arrive at the inn, he tends to the man throughout the night. We know that because it says the next day. It says, on the next day, when he departed, he pays 2 denarii. Now, 2 denarii is something like between a month and 2 months' accommodation and board. Now, this is a large sum of money. And not just that, he says that he'll have an open account. He'll have a tab. He opens himself up to being taken advantage of by this innkeeper. This innkeeper could, he could be open to extortion. But he says, whatever it takes, until this man is well, I will pay you. A man that he didn't know. The simple point is that two men had no love, but one did. Two men were religious, but had no love. One man was a heretic, an outcast, yet he loved. This is amazing. It's extravagant care. It's like the extravagant love that God bestows on us. This is amazing love. Not just for a close friend, but an enemy. This is unheard of. Who does this? Do we do this? It's natural to want to give aid to people who are like you and who you like and who like you. It's natural to want to help people who you identify with and you can understand what they're going through. But in this parable, the only two characters are a Jew and a Samaritan, and Jesus is saying that your neighbour is anybody in need, absolutely anyone that you come across. Have you ever done this for somebody? Yes. We've done it. Of course we've done it. We've done it for ourselves, haven't we? We spend money on ourselves, caring for ourselves, obtaining all the things and the care that we need. We say, I want the best doctor. I want the best care that I can get for as long as I need it. And we may show this kind of extravagant care for our spouse or children and might get somewhere close to this for a friend, maybe. But this is completely over the top for a stranger or an enemy, somebody outside of our close circle. But Jesus is saying that to inherit eternal life, we don't have to do it just once. We have to do it every day. Have you, your whole life, loved strangers like this? Answer, of course not. This is about limitless love. It is saying that I will love this man, I will provide for his needs, whatever it is, why, without limit, and when I come back, whatever it took, whatever it is, how much it is, I will pay. That's what it takes. That's what God is demanding. Every day, all the time, if you want to earn your way into God's kingdom. Does anybody qualify? No. But that's his point. Jesus turns the lawyer's question on its head. The story changes from being about who is my neighbour, who qualifies to be loved, who qualifies for my love, to a story about who is neighbourly and the quality with which you love. In the beginning of the story, the neighbour is the man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, who was beaten and left for dead. But at the end, Jesus says, the Samaritan who helped this man proved to be the neighbour. He's asking the man, what if you were in the road? What if your life was ebbing away as you bled to death? And your only hope was an act of free grace from an enemy who doesn't owe you any mercy and even owes you the opposite. What if that was the situation? Wouldn't you want free grace? It's an impossible standard. So you can either say, help me, God, or you can try and justify yourself. Like the lawyer. Jesus says to the lawyer, go and do the same. If you want to inherit eternal life through works, go ahead. Go and do the same. Always. Anybody in your path, even strangers, enemies, love them. Sacrificially, generously, extravagantly, tenderly, with an open account, unlimited. Do it. And the religious lawyer at this point was supposed to realise that you can't, you won't, and you never will love like this. Such complete love is beyond our capability. Jesus is giving the lawyer another opportunity to fall down, to repent, saying that if this is what it means to love your neighbour, I'm doomed. It was meant to convict him of his total inability to earn his own way into the kingdom of God. But Jesus has given us another way. Another way that Kirk was talking about a few weeks ago in the morning. A way to inherit eternal life that is apart from the law. Because if it were by our own strength, by our own good works, we would never, ever, ever, ever be saved. But that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to save us from this damnation. Jesus came to save us from our sin and from the way that we can't be perfect. And that, friends, that is the good news. Amen.